Fuse Box. What?
Oh, nothing.
Seriously, what are you looking at me like that?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just assumed you might have...
Hey, you know who's not funny?
There it is. That's the thing. That's that new thing you're doing.
You don't know me, bro. I'm unpredictable. you never know what you're going to get. I'm like the weather. I'm the prize in a box of Cracker Jacks.
Oh, you're a prize, all right.
Seriously, bro. You know who's not funny.
Actually, I do. Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I'll give you that. He's definitely on the list. But that's not the answer I'm looking for.
And the answer is?
Jackie Gleason.
Definitely doesn't make my personal funny list.
Dude, I saw something on Jackie Gleason the other night, and I realized there wasn't a single funny bit in the whole highlight reel. Like, how in the fecking huck did that guy get famous?
Again, you'll get no argument from me. I never got it either, but you know who else isn't funny?
It won't interfere with the current building. It won't be. It'll be near it, but not touching it, and pays total respect to the existing building.
His royal anus is funny, but in a totally unfunny way. Folks, this right here is Fuse Box 272 Grift for the Mill. And you had better watch out for falling debris.
Yep, Trump is the grift that keeps on grifting, and that is our secret word for this episode, friends.
Grift. Got it covered. Yeah. I can see it now. A Donald J. Trump humanitarian project called the Make a Grift Foundation, with 100% of the donations going to Donald J. Trump, of course.
Definitely believable. And definitely not funny. Hello, friends, and welcome in to this, the 272nd edition of Fusebox, cunningly titled Grift for the Mill. And I'm your feeling the weight of the world, but having another piece of cake anyway, host, Mark Rose. And over there, awash in the glow of oscillating LEDs, is the Prime Minister of the Mix, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Cheers, and all hail King Donnie Bag of Dicks.
Nope. Not on my watch. No, sir.
And by all recent accounts, not on the watch of over 7 million other right-minded types either.
Indeed. We had a most successful No King's Day protest around this country.
The world, bro. People were protesting everywhere.
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah, and it was quite impressive to see that, I must say. This is exactly the kind of display we need to see more of.
Yeah, a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get into that a bit later on, too, as I want to share some of the truly clever signs around the country that people created, which which were an absolute joy to read.
Oh, no. They were all mass-produced, bro. Didn't you hear? Why, Pam Bimbo Bondi claims they were all provided by George Soros. Don't you know?
Yeah. And just what ever-loving planet do those folks live on? I mean, transparent? They keep saying how transparent this administration is, but what is clearly transparent, pun intended, are the bald-faced lies the GOP keeps spewing about literally everything.
Down is up, love is hate, war is peace. Yeah, you know, they are consistent about one thing, though. Being black or brown is still illegal.
Oh, yeah. The grand old Reich is absolutely as clear as a crystal mugful of gin on where they stand on race and human rights. We were having a little fun with that whole Orwellian future thing in 2017.
Fusebox 1666. Obedience is freedom, from April of 2017, for all you folks playing at home.
Exactly. Who knew, right? Friends, be sure to revisit that one from our archives at thefuseboxshow.com. You will be amused.
Well, we knew. And old George Orwell definitely knew. That was during the first term for the grifter-in-chief.
Alas, how soon people seem to forget. See what trauma does, Mr. Keynes.
Unfortunately, some small-minded, inbred, knuckle-dragging imbeciles in this country apparently believe dictators are a good thing for a country founded on democracy and freedom, especially when they fly over protesters and drop shit on them and round them up and deport them.
Seriously, no U.S. president in any time in our nation's history behaved like such a petulant little brat and claimed his actions were satire.
Now, William Howard Taft might have had one or two unusual oral fixations, but...
Was he a fat guy?
Yeah, at about 300 pounds, yeah. You may be right about that, Lionel, but the fat tub of orange goop currently occupying the Oval Office could certainly give old Howie a run for his money. Weight-wise, I bet. And on that morbidly obese note, when we return, more about this and more about that, including a spiffy new installment from our delightfully demented and depraved buddy, 42nd Street Pete, on his Grindhouse Minute, this time an all-time classic from the infamous blaxploitation genre, circa 1973. Plus, a healthy glob dollop of gooey good news to round things out. So, stay right where you am.
Well, I was going to grab a beer and a shot, but sure, I'll stick around.
In the charm and color of natural gold.
Friends, I just wanted to once again take a moment to tell you about a genuine labor of love from Fusebox contributor and just all-around decent chap, 42nd Street Pete, Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine. Well, in the first issue of GR, Pete does a fabulous job of retelling that first time he discovered what is commonly referred to as Euro horror, way back in 1965, when films like these played in real theaters and not on flickering TV sets at midnight or Saturday afternoons. Yeah, titles like The Awful Dr. Orloff, Lady Frankenstein, or even Terror Creatures from the Grave, where a youngster could spend an entire day in these theaters having the time of their lives. And as Pete writes, despite what you might think, be in an even safer place to experience them than today. Pick up a copy of Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine today. There's a link in the show description to do just that.
Got ice? Yeah, I guess you do. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
And we're back.
So, about Herr Trump's ballroom.
Ugh, you know what? That's one of the biggest grifts yet. From the orange guy's shifty and shady, sham-filled regime.
First, he says he wants to give this ballroom to the people for the low, low price of $200 million.
Yeah.
Naturally, he claims he'll get from, you know, investors.
Yep.
Then the price tag hits $250 million. Then $300 million. He says he'll get that from the DOJ since, you know, he's suing them for investigating him.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that fat loser, says I'll never touch the historic East Wing because it's his favorite and he'd never do anything to degrade it. But that freaking 90,000 square foot monstrosity he's planning to build will be adjacent. And the price tag is now at a hefty and very unfunny $350 million. And of course, his so-called untouchable East Wing isn't anything now but a goddamn pile of debris.
Yeah, and so it goes, without any congressional oversight or approval.
So this is his priority. While not fixing the expiring ACA healthcare fiasco, which is going to triple the cost for millions of folks if these extensions aren't renewed. A fucking ballroom? Seriously?
You know, and I assure you, none of the folks impacted by the healthcare issue or any of the other government shutdown issues before us now will ever be invited to a soiree at that ballroom.
You want obscene? Now that's obscene.
Pretty stinky for sure. And by the way, though, we've had reports that Senator Elizabeth Warren has launched an investigation into the, quote, contracting and approval process for the demolition and whether the corporate donors funding Trump's ballroom are seeking favors with the administration.
Let me take a wild guess. They are.
Yeah, I'd say there are most probably receipts to support that notion, Mr. Keynes. Hopefully, this will get some momentum quickly, as this insane playing field, I mean, it literally changes minute by minute.
Yeah, well, that other fat piece of MAGA crap, Steve Bannon, who isn't the least damn bit funny either, said all along that this would be the strategy Republicans would use to bring it all down. Chaos everywhere. All at once.
Yeah, and you know, lately, our fair city of Portland here has once again been in the crosshairs. I mean, the spotlight. Because in the grifter-in-chief's lie-filled words, Portland, Oregon, USA is currently a war-ravaged, Antifa-sieged city burning to the ground. What with the stores being looted, liberal hippies running amok, pangolins and aardvarks living together.
Ugh, lies and more lies, dude. Lies and more lies.
Friends, we live here. The stories just ain't so. Seriously, do not believe Trump's BS for a second. What we do have here is an enlightened and clever community choosing to meet Republican tyranny with absurdity.
Oh, man, they hate that. Hate it.
Yeah, and you know what? Most of these impotent little tin pot dictator types can't abide being mocked. So when you adorn inflatable frog costumes and dress as unicorns or hippos or chickens, the message being sent is quite different from the cowering masses he wants to create. No, it's not going to happen here. No.
Well, you know, peaceful mockery is a good protest plan, too, because it has a well-documented history.
Yeah.
Well, you can go back to the 1960s for proof. Remember those protesters peacefully putting flowers in the barrels of the National Guard rifles?
Yeah, that's
leveled at them during the Vietnam War protests?
Oh, yeah. That's quite an iconic image and still available out there in video and photographic form. I mean, the frog guy here, who was maced through his costume's air vent, has become kind of a worldwide symbol for the spirit of this movement.
Yeah, yeah, and that dude seems to have come out of that unprovoked attack okay, too. He said he didn't set out to become an icon of the movement, but hell, he'll take it if it helps the cause.
We just need to, as you say, keep the momentum going, not slack off or limit the resistance. These methods, they take time to have a lasting effect, but they do make a huge difference.
Yeah, some methods are quicker than others, though. But now is not the time to sit on the sidelines, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. What about your Disney protest, bro?
Oh, well, I wasn't really going to go into that, but since you mentioned it, yeah, I was like 3 million other people who canceled their Disney streaming service, but now it's over 4 million folks have joined in to hit Hulu in the pocketbook after they cowered and canceled Jimmy Kimmel Live. Now, for the record, I don't even watch that program, but it was more about the caving to authoritarianism than anything else. Just do the math, though. The average yearly cost of Disney streaming is about $160. Now multiply that by 3 million canceled subscriptions. Yeah, that is a financial kick in the crotch.
And boom, just like that, old Jimmy Kimmel was back live as ever.
Yeah, but I'm not back. And won't be. Because if you cave once, Disney, you'll find some other reason to justify caving in again. Guaranteed.
True that, bro. Oh, and Kimmel? He's funny. Definitely and positively.
And speaking of positivity...
Hello. I'm here to bring you the good news.
Oh boy, have we got some things happening in spite of the odoriferously stanky pig wind blowing currently... Like this here one right here. I love this. In 2017, a party game company called Cards Against Humanity bought land on the U.S.-Mexico border in an attempt to stymie Adolf Trump's wall-building project, but alleged that Elon Musk and SpaceX illegally took over the land and filled it with construction equipment and materials.
You mean Elon sucks, don't you?
Anyway, a September 2024 lawsuit filed against SpaceX in Cameron County District Court in Texas sought up to $15 million to cover the cost of restoring the property and other damages. A year after suing SpaceX for invading a plot of land on the U.S.-Mexico border, Cards Against Humanity says it has obtained a settlement and will provide supporters with a new pack of cards about Elon Musk. And yes, I do mean Elon sucks, but be that as it should be, I continue. Cards Against Humanity said it will provide its, quote, best, sexiest customers with a comedic mini pack of exclusive cards all about Elon Musk that can be obtained via this specific sign-up link here. Quoting again, P.S. Soon, the land will be returned to its natural state. No space garbage. And still completely free of pointless fucking border walls, the company said.
Elon Musk, not a funny guy. At all.
And as we mentioned at the top of the show about the No Kings marches across the country, I gotta say, a few of the signs I've seen are just downright hilarious. And we'd like to share a few with you, friends. And you'll also see these signs on our YouTube version of this here very show. But you've got the first one, Mr. Keynes.
Oh, yeah. So this one has that typical shot of the fat orange Führer with his puckered duck face. And the caption reads, "Does this ass make my sign look big?"
Outstanding. Here's another one. Quoting now the sign, "For the Epstein's time, No Kings."
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, how about this one? "Honk if you're not in the Epstein files."
Nice. Okay, this one needs a little setup. There's a picture of a young boy here, probably 10, maybe 12, somewhere in there. And he's holding a sign that reads, "Trump hit on my girlfriend."
Oh, no. Really? Ooh, that's gotta hurt. Okay, how about this one? "A felon married to an immigrant is telling us that the problem is immigrants and felons."
Yeah. That right there, that's what you call ironical. And in medical news, MIT and Harvard researchers have re-engineered the immune system's first responders, natural killer cells, so they can hunt tumors without being fought by the rest of the immune system. In mouse models, they wiped out most lymphoma cells within weeks, stayed active longer, and avoided the dangerous immune storms that plague some CAR-T therapies.
That's great news. Yeah. Okay, how about this? New coal mines are fetching almost nothing at auction with the Trump regime's, Trump administration's latest bid, selling for less than a penny a ton.
Wow.
And New England just closed its last coal plant 3 years ahead of schedule.
Oh, man, that's got to sting. And actually on that same subject, Australia might achieve its first day ever without coal sooner than anyone predicted. And analysts say 100% renewable energy is no longer theoretical. The country's aging coal fleet is being rapidly replaced by wind, solar, and batteries. And the market operator says 90% of coal could be gone by 2035.
Well, stuff that in your pie holes and suck it, you maggot morons. Well, now here's a nod in the right direction. Oklahoma's new school superintendent is repealing the MAGA mandate to put a Bible in every classroom.
Oklahoma? Seriously? Oklahomophobia?
The very same, bro. And well played, by the way.
why, thank you, Ms. Keynes. But wow, Oklahoma. Methinks hell should check the temperature to make sure it hasn't actually frozen over.
Oh, this one's a win for us here. The Portland City Council unanimously approved a pair of proposals that seek to oppose or limit federal actions targeting Oregon's most populous city. Amid fascist Trump's immigration crackdown and attempts to deploy National Guard troops.
Yep, I like it. So this one's kind of mixed, but still good, and quite frankly, needs to be shouted pretty loud at various times, just to be irritating. Okay? Bank of America was, can I say that again? Bank of America, one more time for the Gipper. Bank of America was sued over its alleged financial ties with Jeffrey Epstein, with the lawsuit claiming the financial giant facilitated and also benefited from his alleged sex trafficking venture.
Can I get an amen?
And finally this, Alexandria, Virginia, set up its No Kings endpoint next door to the early voting location that opened the same day. Their first day, early voting totals were higher than the 2024 presidential election.
That's what I'm talking about.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Yeah, some great things happening all around, friends. And all of that to say that we just need to keep it going. And when you see something undemocratic, unconstitutional, illegal, or just plain stinky, bordering on MAGA-inspired domestic terrorism, call it out loudly.
Because the resistance is being televised live, folks.
Exactly. Be like Pam in this classic blaxploitation epic that our resident grindhouse efficient Mr. 42nd Street Pete, his own self, takes a glimpse and a gander at 1973's Coffee.
My name's Coffee.
Coffee, black and stacked and packed with fury. With both barrels zeroed in on the mob's top killers.
This is the end of your rotten life, you dope pusher.
Coffee, where the action is, there coffee is.
Ah! 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 Ah!
the baddest one-chick hit squad that ever hit town. Coffee.
And now it's time for another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Let's take you back to 1973 for Coffee, a huge blaxploitation film. And this was Pam Grier's first film coming back from the Philippines, where she basically had worked for Jack Hill before doing the Big Birdcage and the Big Dollhouse, and was teamed with Sid Haig, as Jack Hill said that Sid and Pam are his Tracy and Hepburn. And she came back, and basically one of her relatives was, you know, OD'd from drugs, and, you know, we're going after the drug dealers. And Sid is one of the henchmen for the drug dealers, and they have a scene where he's basically going to kiss her before he kills her. And so she somehow stabs him in the jugular vein, and he bleeds out there. But then she finds out that the person who she trusted the most was the one who screwed her the most. And she turns on him and blows him away at the end, and there's a lot of carnage and violence. Now, this was, like I said, this was Pam's first solo film, and it's like every white boy's wet dream. A hot, stacked black chick who's nasty, tough, and can really do shit. You know, it's interesting, too, because Sid had told me how close him and Pam were, but I read her book, and she didn't even mention him at all, which kind of sucks. So, I don't know, because he had told me about a lot of adventures that they had over there, you know, with, you know, in the Philippines and things. So it's really weird that, you know, she just completely left them out. This was her first, you know, big one. And then she went to the other ones, Friday Foster and things like that, and became an icon. And damn, I think she's still working today. So that's our Grindhouse Minute for today.
This has been another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Holy carp, she was hot. And funny.
Ah, you remember that one, huh?
I think it may have been one of the first tapes I ever rented. And, kept for reference.
Yeah, it'll be our little secret, Mr. Gaines. Coffee was right at the very peak of the blaxploitation era, friends. And man, there were great ones with Pam Grier and frankly without.
But mostly with. Just saying.
You know, I've got a collection of films from Melvin Van Peebles that in some ways actually ignited the whole blaxploitation genre. I don't think that was his intention, but that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, it's funny to look at those films now. I mean, you know, you just couldn't do them these days, which is probably a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, you're probably right. It was a very, very different time in film and in societal awareness.
Some ways, a looser time, I guess. Despite what folks think about their liberated selves these days.
Yeah, well, we're clearly living in a very schizophrenic time presently.
Hell, man. We're all just trying to do the best we can to get it right. I mean, everything is evolutionary. But yeah, it's off its meds, bro.
And on that under-medicated note, we'll call it a show, but not before we thank our wildly talented and properly medicated contributors to this edition of Fusebox, 42nd Street Pete, Kenzie Main, and Gregory Wilson. Thanks, as always, to the pundit of the Parametric, Milt Keynes, for technical assistance and of all things audio like that there and stuff and crap.
A hot steaming pile as always. And speaking of hot crap, you can get some smoking benefits if you head over to our Patreon page and become a hot member of this thing we call Fusebox.
I see what you did there. Free swag, early show releases, and so much more. Like actual footage of the incompetent and impotent flatulent leader of the free world sweating and drooling all over himself at important cabinet meetings.
Bro, he's like that everywhere he goes. I mean, seriously, he's gross.
That's patreon.com/thefusebox show.
Yep. It's that easy.
Another Fusebox crap load of thanks to 42nd Street Pete for another grimy glimpse into the gloriously gooey world of Grindhouse. And be sure to check out his labor of love, Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine, for all the news about that spanktacular period of cinema at 42ndstreetpete.net.
Hey, 42nd Street Pete, now he's a funny guy, by the way. Way funnier than Jackie Gleason or Adam Sandler. Folks, as we get closer to that time of year, get your minds right and lurch and flail your way on over to the Fusebox store on our website, thefuseboxshow.com. Go up to that swag section in the menu and get yourself buttloads of Fusebox merchandise. Hey, shop our virtual 90,000 square foot ballroom sized pile of sexy cool crap just waiting to be snapped up. Shop, buy, repeat.
A heads up, too. We'll be posting a Fusebox special edition show November 12th that features an all-interview program with none other than the legendary Napoleon Murphy Brock, frontman of Frank Zappa's 1973 to 1974 band, as well as the lovely and charming Nick Chargan, leader of the Too Much Fun for One Stage band, the Stinkfoot Orchestra. Be there or can't, but don't you miss it. And of course, big thanks to all of you out there for braving uncertain political elements and venturing fourth or even fifth and joining us aboard the good ship Fusebox for yet another adventurous audio excursion. Please tune in for all the future frivolity still to come. I am now, as I have been, will be, and possibly never was, unless I already am, your easing in, but always on the way out, host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
Yeah, by the way, I don't think Mitch McConnell is very funny either, bro.
Is he still around?